In June, Governor Kathy Hochul announced that the State Department of Labor was halfway through a four-year campaign to upgrade its administration of unemployment insurance benefits. To learn what's been accomplished and what's left to do over the next 2 years, we're joined on the Capitol Press Room by Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon. Welcome back to the show, Commissioner.
Thanks for inviting me.
So what was the impetus for this modernization effort?
Well, as you may recall, when the pandemic hit, we got crushed.
I have a faint memory.
The tsunami of claims was awful, and we realized immediately that we had outdated technology. I mean, the whole system needed to be updated. We had started updating the whole UI system a year and a half earlier, but it was nowhere near ready because it's an entire rebuild of not a computer, it's a logic machine. So we started embracing technology as quickly as we could. Just to put it into context, we delivered about $105 billion in benefits to nearly 5 million New Yorkers in a little over 2 years. And that comes out to 50 years of benefits in 2 years. So that was a staggering effort. But during that time, we overhauled our phone system so we could handle more claims. We launched a new online application. We set up 6 new benefit programs from the federal government, and all that time we were warding off international cyber criminals. So it was, as you know, a very fraught time, but we knew that we needed more technology in order to solve these problems. And technology is really the unsung hero of this story. We continue to explore innovative solutions. Our aim is to better serve the needs of New Yorkers. And I just have to say, one of the things I think we all learned in the pandemic, people in our country today are very accustomed to on-demand services. You can order your food and it's delivered at your door. You can order your socks on Amazon and it's delivered the next day. Government services were not up to that mark yet. And so we knew that we had to meet our customers where their expectations were, and that's a pretty big lift. We are collaborating very closely with the State Office of Information Technology Services, better known as ITS, and my friend and partner in government, Colonel Tony Riddick, has been a wonderful ally, and they are helping us work together to improve the efficiency of the UI benefit application process and much more. Ultimately, we will be able to handle 100% of customer inquiries through the call center, through authenticated bots, and more technology to come. It's really an exciting time to be doing this. So would you like to know what some of the upgrades are?
Yeah, especially from the user perspective. Are there any noticeable changes through the halfway mark of this project, or is a lot of this behind-the-scenes upgrades that people who are applying for unemployment might not ever notice?
Well, that's an interesting question because there are noticeable upgrades, but we're trying to train our public to use them. We have some behind-the-scenes bots that only work behind the scenes on our end, assisting our telephone operators. But we also have a chat bot new on the website, new-ish. She's probably been there about 6 months. We named her Perkins in honor of Frances Perkins, who is the creator of the UI system. And she is able to talk in 9 languages at this point. Perkins is under continuous development. She can answer a whole raft of frequently asked questions, not just about unemployment insurance, but about other services within the agency. And we are tooling her so she can actually begin to answer individual questions on a customer's own UI claim case. So, for instance, you could get a letter verifying your benefits. You can get an answer on why your benefits have been reduced. And we want to make that more and more interactive. That one bot actually helps answer a lot of questions that people have. But unfortunately, a lot of people get frustrated before they get to the bot and don't get as far as using her. In full candor, I am one of those people when I'm on the phone with my cable provider, I'm tempted to start here at hitting 0 so I can talk to an agent.
Yes.
But what I finally discovered is if I actually follow the prompts, I can get my answer without ever having to talk to the agent. So that's a long way of saying that some of the improvements are already there, but they're not in use as much as we would like. That said, we are also building up a whole new phone system as we speak. We are hopefully going to be able to launch a brand new phone interface. I would like to say max in a couple of months, and that will completely change the way people interact with our system. That, you know, that is going to be a great development. The entire rebuild will be done until third quarter of next year when the new UI system goes online. But there will be incremental advances. And I do encourage people, please follow the prompts and try to use the bots as much as possible. When the new phone system comes online, that will make it much more user-friendly.
Well, when the unemployment system really did get put in the spotlight 2 years ago, one of the things that a lot of people learned about was the technology that the computers were based on, and how this was something that was decades old, and you had to find basically old programmers and old software people to revisit this. Is that something that's still underway in terms of overhauling that, or is that done yet?
No, that is completely, we're engaged on that. We had an outside vendor come in order to take our system off the mainframe and put it into the cloud and move it to this new modern system. It literally means all the coding has to be redone, which is a massive undertaking. That's why this is a several years build. And you're right, some of our system was written in COBOL, which was used in the late 70s, early 80s. And then there's other coding that's been added onto that. So all of that has to be taken in, rewritten completely. It's kind of like rewiring your entire house. And then you can go online. And this is a problem that many, many states in this country have. A lot of states have the same kind of technology that New York State has with the mainframe and old coding. And it's really a massive undertaking to make those changes. We are, we're going to go online third quarter of next year. So we're two-thirds of the way there. One thing we discovered during the pandemic that we learned was that we needed a new outer-looking face for the system. The user experience was certainly not up to par. And so we went back in and revised some of the work that we had originally planned to make it more user-friendly and more futuristic, frankly, because, the technology is changing so fast, and we really wanted to push as hard as we could to make it as forward-looking as possible. And, it does take a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. To their credit, the people who were working on this rebuild managed to do their work through the pandemic, which was amazing. I mean, people were working remotely. It was very difficult, but they did, they kept their noses to the grindstone, and we are making really good progress.
For listeners just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with State Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon about her department's four-year campaign to modernize the state's unemployment system. Are there any other big changes that are still left on the horizon and your to-do list?
I talked about the omni-channel contact center that will use bot technology to speed up answers for our customers. We are also upgrading our forms management system. We have, as you know, probably, we have a lot of different forms in the entire agency that people have to use. It's going to be cloud-based. People will be able to get the right forms quickly and get them back in for rapid processing. We're able to turn it around much faster. That's in development right now. As I said, the UI modernization will be a cloud-based system. And very important for us, we are revamping our intranet system. So the intranet system is the DOL inside internet, so we can communicate with all of our employees, and that's where they do their training. And one thing that people don't realize, during the pandemic, all of our call center people were outstationed. They were working remotely, and many of them were people who worked in other parts of the DOL, so they had to be trained to handle the phones because it's a complicated process. And then we started adding the new technology. So while they were working 7 days a week, 10 or 12 hours a day, answering phone calls, they were also being trained on this new technology as it came in. That means we had to have a new intranet system to make that work for them, and that's currently being done as I speak. It will be a new dawn for the UI system, no doubt about it. But there are other things that we're doing in addition to this. So we had a new cloud-based UI application in 2020, so that allowed New Yorkers to apply just one time for whatever benefits they were eligible for. And at that point, we upgraded the phone system to handle more calls. Now we're adding a new customer relationship management tool. And that's really critical because it helps us track and manage workloads and gives the call center staff access to account information and call history instantly. And that is being developed as I speak. It used to be under the old mainframe system, the call center workers sometimes had to go through 8 or 10 screens to get the information that they needed out of the mainframe to assist the customer. That could take all in 20 to 25 minutes a call. Now we want to be able to turn those calls around in 4 to 5 minutes. And that means we have to have the new CRM to give them the information immediately. During the pandemic, we did something we never did before. Because we were not able to service people immediately, we allowed them to backdate their certifications. We never did that before. And that meant we had to have some way for them to do a secure document exchange with us. So we got DocuSign, which goes to a person. It's a legally viable way of transmitting information. And it goes from the individual into the DOL. You don't have to go in through any other system. We generate the DocuSign. They give the information, send it back to us. So we used it for the backdated certs. The tourism worker recovery payments were all done with DocuSign, and there's much more. It gives us a lot more flexibility. Another thing that we're doing, I know all of our customers have seen this, GovDelivery. GovDelivery is a secure way for us to email and text directly with our customers. We have sent over 100 million emails and text messages to customers throughout the pandemic, and that probably didn't start until the end of the first year of the pandemic, so probably December of 2020 or January of 21 was when we started using GovDelivery. 100 million emails and texts. So we understood people need to know where they are in the process. Who am I talking to? People were terrified because of fraud. Social media, we have very robust social media platforms. We put up information all the time. We now have a Spanish social media platform. We have Spanish Twitter. We have Spanish language on all of our videos. And we've reorganized the website so you can find benefit information and job resources easier. And something we're very proud of, the Excluded Worker Fund, we were charged to develop the application system and deliver the funds. We stood it up and processed 13 languages. The law was signed in April. We developed an entirely new system to handle it because we couldn't use federal resources to do it. We did that, and we started the application process in the late summer, and that money was out the door to the beneficiaries by September. So it was a real success, and we learned so much from doing that. That's informing everything we do.
What sort of surge capacity is the department planning for moving forward? Are you trying to accommodate or hoping to accommodate the same level of demand from the early days of the pandemic? Or do you just want to be able to handle maybe the type of spike that might come from a bad recession in the future?
Well, to be candid, having lived through the crash, we realized that nobody predicted it. Nobody was prepared. We're going to be prepared for whatever comes the next time. I hope it's just a spike and then everybody goes back to work. But if it's another health scare, whatever, we are building this system to be able to absorb 1 million calls a day.
Wow.
We processed 5 million people in 2 years, and we would not be doing our job if we didn't prepare to handle that kind of impact again.
That's very
ambitious.
It's
going to be cloud-based. That's the biggest difference. Yeah, it is very ambitious. But, I think it was Winston Churchill said, never let a good crisis go to waste. We learned a lot throughout the pandemic. And one thing we learned was you won't be able to predict the future, but predict as hard a case as you can, because that may happen. So, we are ready. It's going to be a cloud-based system. It will be able... The cloud expands exponentially. A mainframe does not. And so that's why we're using the cloud-based systems in the future. And hopefully, knock wood, we never experience anything like this again. But if we do, we'll be ready.
Well, also during this last 2 years, we've heard from lawmakers as well as nonprofits and volunteers who have had to help people navigate this system, whether because they had a unique case or because maybe they weren't technologically savvy. Do you think that dynamic is always going to be necessary, that there will need to be some of these third-party players to help people get through the unemployment system? Or is the goal to make it so someone, whether they're going online or making a phone call, can handle all of this by themselves?
So for me, I would love for every single customer who comes into the Department of Labor, whether it's for unemployment insurance, wage theft, looking for a job, whatever their need is, I'd like to be able to meet them where they are. That said, we all know that certain populations do need some assistance or want some assistance from the not-for-profits, and we're happy to support them. The Excluded Worker Fund, we really relied on the not-for-profits in that area to help us because we knew that the majority of those beneficiaries would not come to a government agency for help.
Right.
They would go to their not-for-profit partners. So we worked very closely with them and supported them, gave them grants, trained them on how to do the applications. But we really want people to feel free to come to us and get the assistance they need. But I am very, very thankful for all of the help that all of our third-party people have given us. Often they have a relationship with a community or a family that we don't have. And they, you know, that person may feel more comfortable going to their not-for-profit partner first. We want to be there for whatever they need. But I do understand that sometimes people feel more comfortable going to their familiar person before they come to us. And we will work with the advocacy community, the not-for-profits, to make this as seamless as possible.
Well, finally, I'll tee you up for the question I know you want. Job seekers, what can we expect on that horizon?
So, you know, we also went virtual with our job seekers efforts. We, you know, everybody was working from home and they were looking for jobs from home. So we put our services online, and we've been doing this throughout the pandemic. We have virtual job fair platform. We have hosted monthly job fairs for every region in New York State, and they are very successful. People are able to go online. Often they can Zoom and have a conversation with a potential employer in real time. We also have virtual career workshops programs that we do, no-cost courses. Every week we put up a calendar of what's online, what's available. Some of it is interactive and some of it's YouTube that you watch, but there's lots there, resume building, interview skills. We work with people on how to interview. Of course, we have the jobs bank where workers can go and look for potential jobs. It's very exciting. We are scheduling appointments for people who want to talk to an in-person counselor, but we really urge people to use the virtual platforms because they're really fabulous. And we are about to unveil our virtual career center, which will be another upgrade. It has AI. It's really much more robust. People are used to looking on LinkedIn or Indeed. It will be similar to that. And it will just be another way for us to help our customers find a career that they love. The other thing that we have, about a year and a half ago, I think, we engaged with Coursera. Coursera is an online learning facility, and they have a huge portfolio of online courses, some very basic and some very advanced. You can get certificates. You can even get degrees on Coursera. So we bought Coursera licenses, and originally we gave them out to unemployment customers to enroll free in courses and certificate programs so they could upskill and pursue new careers. We are now doing that for underemployed customers. They don't have to be completely unemployed. And we're looking, hoping in the near future, we will allow businesses to also give Coursera licenses to their workers so they can upskill the workforce they already have. We have had such great success. Over 900,000 hours of learning have taken place on these Coursera licenses in about a year and a half. It's really transformational. There was one customer who I think was working as a domestic helper. And she went online and got her certificates to do hair and makeup and opened her own salon. So now she's an entrepreneur. We also have a woman out on Long Island who went back to Coursera and took several courses and became a project manager and landed a job for $150,000 a year. So, you know, these are transformative opportunities. Also, SUNY Online. SUNY Online is a fabulous asset for people to get more education, you know, at their schedule without having to matriculate full-time in college. The Jobs Bank now has over 250,000 jobs statewide. And very important, the governor just announced our seasonal job bank has over 15,000 postings for businesses looking to hire for summer openings. And we also have a part-time jobs bank. So think about a caretaker home with a child or an elderly person you care for, but you want to make a little extra money, look for a part-time job in the part-time jobs bank or maybe the summer jobs bank and see if you know, find a way to make a little extra money, you know, when you're not taking care of the kids or your grandparents. These are all wonderful opportunities. And for young people, I always urge adults, think about how impactful it was when you got your first summer job. What did you do? Probably didn't make a lot of money. Probably you didn't work full time. But think about the impact it had on you. You had some money of your own. You had independence. You were out in the world as an independent person. Summer jobs are really character building. And I urge young people and their parents, look on the seasonal job bank and find a great summer job near you, because employers really need more workers. And it's a great way for young people to get into the job market.
Well, we've been speaking with State Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon. Commissioner, thank you so much for making the time, and good luck with the rest of this modernization effort.
Thank you very much. It was great to talk to you.
Business, agency, or service interested in delivering your message to more than 24 radio stations statewide carrying Capital Press Room? If so, visit capitalpressroom.org to contact our underwriting team.